It's Tuesday night, November 26th.
Everybody can pray. Ah, yes, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, that your presence would be with us, your truth, O Lord, would be here, O Lord, that we would be able to receive your truth, that your truth would be expressed. We ask, O Jesus, that it would be your, not mine, not ours, O Lord, that operates.
Yes.
That you would do that, oh, by your Spirit. Do that good work, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm.
Yes. We've been talking a lot about baptism lately.
Yep.
For the simple reason that it's a lot more valuable, I think, than what we have envisioned. I don't think we've really seen it. And I heard a scripture, and I, because it doesn't seem to fit with other ones, I want to read it. And Paul says this in the 22nd chapter of Acts. And he's quoting Ananias. You know, they prayed for him for his eyesight and so forth. And anyway, Ananias, in verse 16, said to him, "And now why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord."
Mm.
What do you mean, wash away your sins?
Hmm.
It looks like he's talking about baptism, is he?
Yes. Oh, it sure does.
I haven't seen that really in the other scriptures as a that was a, you know, your baptism usually followed repentance. Repent and be baptized.
Where are you reading this?
It is Acts 22:16. I just heard it on the CD a little while ago. I mean, maybe and wash away your sins. It could have something. It could be some other thing, but it kind of looks like it's connected with baptism.
You know, Ananias may have had a wrong picture of what baptism was.
He might have.
Uh-huh. I, he could have, or an old,
or we do. There's a possibility that we do, you know.
Well, elsewhere it talks about, no, it's, you, that's, this isn't what happened. It's not, you don't do it to wash away your sins. It's the reenactment of the...
So did he wash away his sins calling on the name of the Lord? He said, is that how he did it?
Well, Ananias had that part right, but the other, it'd be a little odd for it to be in the Bible if Ananias had it wrong.
Yeah.
But just because Ananias said it doesn't necessarily make it the work, you know.
Well, but see, then we get in trouble with. So who is being led by the Lord in the Bible?
Well, Job's comforters aren't.
But I mean, yeah, except that they weren't the primary person involved.
Yeah. If Paul had said this, I would not have that argument.
Yeah. What is the argument here?
Well, Paul is saying that.
No, quoting Ananias.
He's quoting Ananias, though.
Right.
But what is the argument? I'm not sure what the argument is.
Well, does baptism wash away your sins?
Oh, that's the argument.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Oh, okay.
And we're not arguing.
And I know he's not arguing.
John,
I didn't know.
John baptism, there's a kind of a suggestion.
Okay.
Is the baptism of repentance, like washing away your
okay.
sins. Jesus is being part of, becoming part and parcel of what Jesus is.
Okay.
Is baptism of, that's the old baptism, John's baptism.
Now here's the thing. If we read these, and I'm not arguing with you, but it seems that he's anointed when he says, well, first, then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. Now, would you say he's anointed there?
Yeah.
That you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. So now does the anointing stop for the next verse?
Good point.
I mean, I don't know for sure.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And now while you are waiting, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
But is the washing away of the sins connected to baptism or just calling on the name of the Lord?
Well,
here, Acts 2. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So, Keith, what are you asking? I guess the argument is, do you get all your sins washed away because of the baptism or because you call into the name of the Lord?
Yeah.
Well, same thing. I mean, if you are baptized, if you're being baptized, you are calling unto the Lord. You know what I mean? It's you're demonstrating your faith.
Well, Peter says, by this baptism does not save you.
You're saved because your sins are remembered no more.
But he says because it's not the washing away of the filth of the body,
right,
but the act of a good conscience.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just trying to tie all this in. And for me.
You're thinking out loud is what you're doing.
Huh?
You're thinking out loud.
I'm thinking out loud, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go on the comment in this, and this is just it's not script. It's someone on this subject, and they're saying, baptism is faith through a visible form. And it also goes on to indicate or think that having faith in Christ is like hitting the delete button of all your past sins and guilt. The act of baptism represents the washing away of our sins. So it represents. So I think to say it, the act of does it, that's kind of a finer point. But
yeah.
But I think the end result is if you demonstrate in faith to be baptized, and you have asked for the forgiveness of sins, the act of baptism, that act of faith
act
is
of a good conscience.
And that is honor. So, maybe it's a little bit too common.
I think isn't there a scripture that specifically says, you don't get baptized to wash away your sins, though. You get baptized to reenact the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Well, that's in Romans 6, but
Romans 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I'm thinking, I'm kind of going on what happened with myself. Well, probably happened to maybe you guys. I know when I realized that I was a sinner and needed to accept Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of sins, I knew I was born again.
Yeah.
And so whatever follows after that is reinforcing what happened then,
mm-hmm.
I think. For me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did want to be baptized because I started identifying with the fact that you're dying to self, which I didn't know at the time that I confessed my sins because I just prayed a prayer because somebody said, you know, if you're feeling anything from this, call on the Lord, you know, and confess your sins. And that's what I did. And I know I was changed. I mean, overnight, I was, all my thinking and everything started being totally different. You know, just like cleaner thoughts and just like nature and enjoying God's, God was just so, I was so aware of God and His, everything, you know. Well, not everything, but. So, you know, we got to, the only thing I think you have to be careful of is that you don't start making it a, it's almost like making it a doctrine to be saved. Because anybody can call on the Lord at any time and confess their sins, and He's going to accept them, and they're going to be born again. Whether they were baptized or not at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't want to make it look like baptism saves you. Because it could, but it's not necessary.
Yeah, that's always been the...
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, that's always been
the... That's the real question. Is baptism salvation or not? And on one hand you say, well, if it is, you kind of limit what God can do. On the other hand, if you look at baptism as an act of faith,
right?
I think that...
See, you don't want to make it a work, in a sense. You know, where you just say, yeah, if we get baptized, we're good. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a fine line. It really
which is the argument for infant baptism.
Right. You know,
a lot of those babies die, you know, so you catch them, so they'll
yeah.
have it. Right?
Yeah.
And God kind of implies in His Word that none of them are accountable till a certain age, so He's got them all in heaven. You know, at a certain, if they died being unaccountable, well, God, He can't hold that against them. And He wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Not our loving Father.
That is a good point, though. Ananias did seem to be have the anointing of the Lord. He was acting in a prophetic manner. He was prophetic.
Seems to be. I mean, I had to read it first to see whether it did say that or not.
Yeah. No, he is prophesying Paul's ministry.
Yeah.
At that
right.
point, you know. And so we shouldn't say, oh well, it's a whole lot less likely anyway.
I'm not trying to cut you off. I was going to say, it would seem out of character for Scripture to record a negative or a wrong behavior that's not spoken of and corrected.
Right.
I mean,
right.
if something is wrong,
right, it will be corrected.
Then it
will be super obvious one way or another.
Scripture shows the correction.
Right.
So, on the face of it, to say,
comforters, but yes, it's obvious that they are wrong. You know, by the end of it.
Well, that's a generality. I mean, there may be an exception to that, but I'm thinking, and so you're looking at this setting, and you go, okay, and you first come up, well, you know, I just might have been off on this. I'm going, I don't think Scripture would have tried to capture that unless it was clearly saying, and Ananias was wrong in this, you know. So I'm just another thing to think.
This a correction, really, like, you know, when Peter wanted to do Moses and Elijah, he says, not knowing what he spoke or whatever.
Yeah, it shows that he was,
you know what I mean,
had the wrong thought pattern going.
So Keith, so where are you at? So what? No.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, you rabble rouser, you.
Okay, well, let me bring some more confusion.
Okay.
In Romans 6:3, don't you know ye not, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?
Romans 6:3.
Yeah. I suppose it could be both things.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot involved there. You know?
Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's one of the problems with the church, the modern-day church. You can't tell the Christian from the non-Christian. They're all the same.
Hmm.
They do the same thing. They act the same way. They, you know.
Now, see, that setting, though, isn't based on repentance necessarily.
Oh, it sure isn't. No, that, yeah. And that's not the only place where that notion is
right.
expressed.
So it's kind of saying there's a couple aspects of baptism that come into play.
Right.
It can right. be for repentance.
Or all.
Or it can be to die.
But all.
According to Christ.
Or yeah. it can be both at the same time.
Both.
Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking this setting with Paul. I mean, Paul was who he was, and maybe the Lord just saw it fit to just have it said to him that, you know, you need to be baptized for your sins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now.
Which is the other way of saying you need to demonstrate faith that you're trying to.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't have had to be baptized because Ananias told him to, but obviously he must have because he continued on ministering after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it doesn't say he refused to be baptized, so.
And I got a little scared there when you quoted Romans 6:3, because you said, "Don't you know?" Yeah. And I was going, I didn't know the scripture was that I had that much Minnesotan in it.
And then I looked, no, ye not.
I said, no, ye not. And I said, oh, that feels a little more King James to me. Don't you know? I went, wait. I was about to call Paul.
Is that the same thing or not?
Yeah, but it sounds a little Minnesotan to me. I don't know. Don't you know?
Oh.
It says over in verse...
Same book.
Anyway,
now, well, let me confuse things a little bit and read for you 1 Peter 3:21. It says, like figure whereunto even baptism does not now save us, or does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're saying, you're not, it's not washing, putting away the washing away the filth of the flesh.
Yeah, but filth of the flesh
is what's not doing.
I know, but yeah. Filth of the flesh doesn't, does that necessarily mean dirt on
that's,
the flesh?
That's what, I think that's what he's saying. It's not washing your dirt.
Well, I don't know, or is filth of the flesh
literally dirt, as Gordon yeah. said?
Dirt.
Well, that's
I don't know. What I'm saying is it could mean the filth sin of flesh.
It may be a... bathing or something.
Well, no, I mean, it might not mean dirt. It might mean sin.
Oh, I would expect it does.
You know?
Yes, I would expect. And it's saying, that's not what baptism is. It's not washing away sin.
See, it's specifying because you're using water.
Yeah.
If you were using, you know, fanning, it would be a different bill right. because it's using water. It's specifying. It's not because you're taking a shower. It's not a shower. I think he's saying
maybe that's true.
You know what
maybe
I mean?
That is true.
Because it's usually because of the water issue.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it's we're thinking literally dirt,
and I think that's what it is.
And I think that's the problem with going. You think of water, you think of cleansing.
Yep.
And that's hence the
issue. A funny thing for it to be saying, but I guess you know that you could be right. You could be right.
And the thing is that baptism is, you know, when we baptize. We see it one way, but there's several things that should be addressed when you baptize or want to be baptized or talk about baptism. And remember, Jesus says, he who is, see, okay, so you are baptized in Romans 6 unto his death, right?
Yeah.
And then resurrection. So, but Jesus says, he who is born of water and what? He was born of water and
blood.
Water and blood, is that it?
I think so.
He'll be have eternal life or be saved or whatever. So hey, who can be born again? Who can go into a mother's womb? So the born of water, because when you are a baby, you come out of water. You are in a water environment. So now you obviously you cannot go into a water again. So you just use the water as being born as a baby again, but now this has a spiritual meaning. It's not that it's washing your, it's not a showering of whatever. In a way it is, but so you are submerged and come out of water again, just like you did when a baby. Because it's a born again.
That's interesting, yeah.
You are born again. See, the baptism symbolizes the being born again, and born again might not be the salvation as well, might not be interchangeable. Maybe it is, maybe it can be, but not necessarily, because to be born again is to be born again of water and spirit. He says, I mean, you're born again of this and that. To be saved is when you already been born again. However, born again is, it might not be a necessary thing to be saved, because if you, that's what baptism is.
Whoa.
I know.
I don't know if I got all
that. I mean, immediately, I cannot worry about it. No, I was going back and forth.
I can't repeat that again.
Yeah, I can't. It won't be able.
It says in John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit.
Okay, how are you born of water? Baptism.
I don't know.
Then what is it? If it's not baptism, what is it?
Well,
if nobody has an answer, I would stick with baptism until somebody does.
Is the baby enclosed in a thing?
Yes, amniotic fluid. If the baby is in a balloon full of water, mm-hmm. and born again of water. So you were in water once.
I never thought of that, but that's
a good point. The only thing is, so wasn't I born again when I was born again?
What?
Well, I wasn't. When I thought I was born again, I had not been baptized.
Okay, read the scripture once.
I think.
The one I just read?
Yes, but.
I think the time.
John 3:5.
Okay, so unless you're born again of water and spirit, what?
Born of water and of the Spirit.
Yeah, then what?
He cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Which means what? Salvation?
Well, that's what it says.
Right. Or enter the kingdom. I mean, because you can enter the kingdom and fall out of it. I mean, you know, enter the, that being saved might not be the same as entering the kingdom. Either way, I do see baptism as the coming out of water. I would say, unless you're born again of water, you know.
Well, it's kind of interesting, because you got to keep reading. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Right.
That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Right. Now, let's quit talking about water.
Yes.
Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Okay.
So it's really kind of emphasizing spirit more than anything.
It is emphasizing spirit, but it never says forget about the water.
It does forget about the water, but it doesn't say to.
Yeah.
So it says born of water.
Yeah. Okay. When were you born again?
Or what? I don't know. I mean, was I born again? I'm learning.
Well, when did you accept Jesus Christ?
20 years ago.
How? I mean,
I prayed, I repeated after Alberta, whatever she told me to say.
Did you know you changed then?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't. I mean, did I?
Well, I don't know. I'm
being saved.
Well, I understand that. I believe I am too. But the fact is, you have a starting point.
Okay, so it will be that one. It will be that event.
Yeah. Now, I think there was other people in here that got that first too. And then somebody came and said, well, have you been baptized? No, we didn't know we were supposed to be baptized.
Yeah. Well, why? Why did they have to be?
Well, I think it. Why do you get filled with the Spirit? Do you have to get filled with the Spirit?
I asked first.
Well, because I think it does enhance it. I think they all have to build to bring you closer to the kingdom of God, yeah. Probably.
Because it's a show of good conscience towards God.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't know, you just see, to whom more has been given, more will be required. So baptism might be like a given thing. If it wasn't given to you, it's not required. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I believe that just because I was born again doesn't mean I'm saved for the rest of my life. I know that. You know, I have to continue on, continue being
right.
saved, just like you said.
Right.
I know.
You raised the point, though, Ken, that there was a salvation experience, a born-again experience.
Yeah.
And that didn't necessarily, at that point, require baptism. You know, it was, you know. And certainly the same was true of me, too. It was upwards of a year and a half after I got saved that I was baptized.
Yeah.
But I was washed away of sin, though.
Yeah.
You know,
at
the time of baptism, there was a washing away.
But during that year and a half, were you walking with the Lord to the best of your ability?
Oh, definitely. I was speaking.
Yeah. See, if you hadn't had a born again, you just would have fell off.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Yes. I think so, too. I believe that, you know, we serve an eternal God, one who knows that baptism is coming up. And so it's a little bit irrelevant whether or not how much time passed between the time that I responded to an altar call and the time that I was baptized.
True.
Now, it's a good idea to get back. You know, I probably shouldn't have waited a year and a half, but it turned out very well. But, you know, the timing was just perfect for me. But
I'm trying to think when I was actually baptized the first time. I would have, if I was baptized by immersion the first time, it would have been at the Assemblies of God Church. And then I'm wondering, was that before I got filled with the Holy Spirit or after? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've got a scripture that...
I know when I got over here, after a while, I wanted to be baptized again, but...
Ephesians 2:12-13. That at the time, before baptism, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope but without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, ye who are sometimes were far off are made near or made nigh by the blood of Christ. To me, that makes it a big deal.
Would you really read one more time?
Sure.
Issue of baptism?
Yes. And I will, Pablo. It's Ephesians 2:12-13. At that time, before baptism, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
Does it say before baptism? What does
it
say?
It is in hyphenate. It's in parentheses. So let me go right to the actual book here. Because maybe that's editorial added. Yeah, Ephesians.
Be a little funny.
What is it?
Ephesians 2:12-13. Well, yeah, it is an end, according to the King James. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye are... Sometimes we're far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Let's see if there's
that's
an
editor.
They added baptism in there, didn't they?
Tried, my bad.
Well, I think it's...
Generally, when you put the quote in there...
Different things, bad. But, there is an interesting scripture in Titus. I haven't quoted Titus in a long time, but I will today. Chapter 3... Verse 5, it says, I'll start in the middle of it. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of combining the two. It includes washing, but it's be born again. It's the washing of regeneration. Talks about.
There's two what?
Titus 3. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration.
Yeah, and that is kind of a common.
Yeah, so it.
Do you suppose?
It's not referring specifically to baptism, but it does combine those two notions of washing away your sins and also of being born again, or a reenactment of the death and resurrection of Christ.
I don't have an understanding of this, but here's a verse. It's in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
That's something, isn't it?
Okay, so let's go back. Let's go back to he who. Unless you're born again of water and spirit, you will not enter the kingdom, right? So then he goes back to spirit only. But now there's a scripture someplace says it. Now you are. Now we're talking about. Let's talk about birth. You know, like birth, baby birth, or whatever birth. So the Bible says it speaks about being conceived by the word. Okay. Now you are conceived by the word. That's conception. So. And after conception, this birth. So, I don't know, but then when you are baptized, you're born of water first, and then later you're conceived by the word. So it's kind of backwards. But God can do backwards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I was thinking about the first time that Peter spoke to what they should do. Then Peter said to them, so here's the first thing, repent.
Mm-hmm.
And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, it's kind of the end result is you want to get to the gift of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Because
that's
when you read in Acts before that was the main event.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, well, what should we do?
Well, they were in the upper room, and that was it. And why did all of a sudden it testified to all these people? Yeah. Something crazy happened because they're all speaking in a different tongue, you know?
Right.
But it's kind of, you still need to be baptized.
Right. Yeah. See, when you think about baptism, you think water, submerging, and coming out of the water. Baptism.
I mean, the part that makes sense to me is the death.
Right, that's where I was going to go. Yeah. Because it's the symbolicness of you die and then you come back up, which is the type of Christ. So you're born again. That's kind of you get baptized so you're born again. And a byproduct of that is that you get the Holy Spirit. And another byproduct of that is that you can have your sins washed away. And another fact of that is that you're putting on a physical demonstration to show faith. And another aspect of that is that you're putting on, you're not washing away filth of this earth, but you are putting on the cloak of Christ. Is that, I'm not saying that.
Well, right. There is a word talking about putting on Christ, right?
Putting on of Christ. But it's important, and I think where I'm commenting back to you, Pablo, is that people, various doctrines take a different approach to, well, what is this really trying to get done? And I think what Keith has been getting some revelation is like, well, there's a lot going on here.
There's a number of elements can be going on at the same time, I think.
Yes, and there's a lot. It's more than just making an outward sign and looking foolish and being dunked in a tank.
Here's interesting, later on, 41, I was in like 38.
Yeah, I think you're right, though.
Then those who gladly received his word were baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But so you got to be careful because even here, repent That's a separate thing before being baptized.
But it might be connected with it.
Well, but I mean,
yeah.
it does kind of connect, but
yeah.
Repent, which you could do, you know, and then go get baptized for the remission of your sins.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not just
saying. It occurs to me, if you really want to reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you would have some people, you would lie in a hole, have a bunch of people throw dirt on you.
Yeah.
You'd get pulled out of that hole. You know, I mean, that would be a real good, you know, that would be a good, real good reenactment. We don't do that. We do it in waters, you know. So
yeah.
It's maybe like combining the two. It's a washing, which you use water to wash, you know, washing away the sins. But it is also this reenactment thing.
Yeah.
You know,
and of course,
there's no big problem with having it be both, you know, kind of, there's
yeah.
some tension there, but it can be both.
I mean, I really identify the fact with going down, dying to self. You know, I mean, being in a tomb, not
yes.
necessarily covered with dirt or whatever,
right.
but, you know, and then coming up. See, the whole point that it's making is that it's giving you eternal life.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened to Christ. Once he did that, he was good, you know.
Right.
Now,
totally good.
So we need to understand what we're talking about. I know what we're talking about. We need understanding.
Yes,
I mean, we need more
revelation.
There's more to know, isn't there?
Yeah.
However, if I invited somebody today to tell him to get baptized and he would listen to this, I don't know, like, it will be little much.
No,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No, he's not going to hear this.
Right. So he says, you know, God, you know, I planted, God. Somebody waters, God gives you the increase or whatever. If we ought to baptize somebody in the short future, you know, repent for your sins and baptize them and let God do the increase and the watering or whatever. You know what I mean? If the time comes and we are still in the same boat, I don't think we just need to just... Unless we have an understanding and are comfortable with that understanding.
See, here's the thing. Now, I don't know where Peter, he was standing from that upper room preaching.
Yeah.
So they were in the city.
Jared.
Okay. So he's saying repent first. Then they're going to have to go somewhere to get baptized. Because I was sitting here thinking, okay, so you mean I shouldn't really try to point somebody to salvation unless I got a tank or something ready to baptize them.
Right.
You know? That's the point I'm kind of trying to
yeah.
make is, yes, it's necessary, but it's not the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first step is repenting.
The first step is
accepting
knowing and acknowledging, obviously, yeah. Okay, it's not like you're going to say, hey, let's go in the water and out, and then I want to tell you about Jesus.
Because I think there's a scripture somewhere that says, and this is the gospel, that you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified and raised from the dead, and it doesn't say anything else. And I'm trying to think of where that is, if it's in Acts or
well,
if it's later.
The blessing is we're getting familiar with enough of the scriptures that we can bring up a subject like this.
Yeah. I was going to say, Pablo, I have a better understanding of baptism now than I was when I walked through that door.
So do I.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But it should be good to be able to give us some kind of a clear picture.
The bigger question is, knowing what you know now, why the rush to baptism?
What do you mean?
If you don't really understand why you're doing it,
right.
Why would you take a newbie and say, you need to be baptized?
Well,
if I can't tell someone why they should be baptized, why should I make someone go through that?
Right, right. I wouldn't
say
maybe, although I went through baptism, not understanding nearly as much as I do now, but it but I went through it, and I was baptized, and now I'm getting a greater appreciation for the thing that happened in the past.
Don't get me wrong. There still is the benefit of making the act.
Yeah.
And humbling yourself, and there's still the benefit of starting out by repenting, but you know, the point I was just making is, and I think this is why Keith is kind of been churning on this, because, mm-hmm. you know, I teased him a couple of weeks ago, because he kind of, he's going back and forth, and we're chatting, and I go, so Keith, you got baptized. Should you get baptized again now that you have this understanding? And the first time he said no. A couple weeks later, said, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Now I think he's leaning towards, yeah, I probably mm-hmm. should.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think I will.
Yeah. You want to get baptized again?
Yeah, but not on the basis of what we know as yet.
Oh. Well, we're not there yet.
In anticipation of greater revelation.
We're not there.
Yeah. But, you know, and one other thing that occurred to me when we were just all freewheeling here. Repentance.
You call it freewheeling, I call it being led by the Spirit.
In a very free and open way. Yeah, okay. Yeah, didn't mean it in a natural way. But I was thinking about repentance and sins and the sea of forgiveness. And I just thought of that in terms of water is just constantly interwoven here. And so, because you want God to forget all your sins. And so you repent.
Uh-huh.
And he says, yep, they're over here in the sea of forgetfulness, which is water. You get baptized, and it's like, so your sins are cleansed, and they're over here.
Mm-hmm.
The water cleanses them, not the filth, but he cleanses you in a spiritual way.
And the thing about washing of regeneration, I think, gets at that, that
as
idea.
Well, yeah.
Yes. We act as though, well, which is it? Is it washing, or is it regeneration? Well, no, it's washing through regeneration.
Okay.
So it, in a way, it can be both those things, you know.
Well, I'm not saying one is wrong. I'm just saying I think there's more to the water aspect of this.
So somebody asked somebody someplace, so did you get baptized by the baptism of water or by the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, well, I didn't even know there was a baptism of the Holy
Paul
Spirit.
Did. Paul asked him.
Yeah, right.
So what happened then? What did Paul do?
He baptized them in the name of Christ.
With water? Did he use water?
Paul. I'm assuming.
Well,
I am assuming.
I think at that point they prayed for him and then they received the Holy Spirit.
But he was already baptized with water.
I think so. So
Jesus, he says, and when Jesus comes, because like I asked a few minutes ago and I didn't get into it, you know, when we think baptism is water, we think, you know, a tank or a river or a pool within water. But when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's no air, there's no water. There's no water. I wonder if our mission is the baptism of water. And then Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know? So do you get what baptism do you get? The baptism of the Holy Spirit? Or of water or the baptism of?
Now Jesus' disciples baptized, you know, it wasn't just John, but in water.
With water.
Yeah, with water. So it's not as though Jesus had nothing to do with water baptism.
But Jesus himself did not baptize with water.
Yeah, that's right.
But it says that his disciples baptized more than John did.
Yeah, right.
Right. Well, there was 12 more too.
where were we reading about Ananias the first time?
Where was that?
Yeah,
Acts 22.
Acts 27.
22. Acts 22.
Acts 22.
Well, there's a here it's in chapter 9.
Well,
Ananias.
Paul's telling the story later on.
Okay, but this is interesting. Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be baptized. No. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Was he baptized in water or the Spirit?
You know what? I don't know.
It's all mine.
Well, we know he got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because he says in Acts 15 or 14, what, 16? 14, 16? He said, I thank God I speak a tongue more than all of you.
Yeah.
So somewhere he got to speaking in tongues. Is that where it's at, 14, 16?
See, it kind of implies here that the baptism, that he was baptized by the Holy Spirit.
I would have thought that when they just referred to baptism, that would...
I know, but it's that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately they're filled up in their eyes. I don't know.
The one that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit on fire is Jesus.
Right.
And there's no indication of nobody else doing anything, saying nothing like that, except for Jesus. Jesus is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit on fire. And we don't, basically.
You're right.
So there is, I don't want to say two baptisms, but there is two kinds of baptism.
Oh, there are, yeah.
Is it the one of water or the one of the by the Holy Spirit?
Uh-huh.
Well, I did. The correction, it didn't correct saying, oh, it's the same. No, oh yeah, there is the water one and there's the Holy Spirit one.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are people who have been baptized who do not speak in tongues.
Say that again?
There are people who have been baptized but don't speak in tongues and don't have the Holy Spirit.
Because it's Jesus the one, because it's Jesus the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit.
So it's possible to have an act of faith and then still not have the Holy Spirit given to you.
Right.
Yet.
Right.
Or at least not as evidence than speaking in tongues.
Exactly.
Here. Well, here's another interesting rule. And walking in the fear of the Lord, this is in kind of 9, chapter 9, towards the end. Walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So somehow they were being saved.
And the scripture is confusing in that way because of what I was saying before, because Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
God says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So we have this natural tendency to say these two are linked.
Right.
And they aren't necessarily linked.
No.
For everyone.
Right. And I think that's a good place to be at.
And they're not, and like deliverance, someone can get prayed for, but the demon is cast out, but not necessarily immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to read things and go, how come?
I think, you're right, Kirk, but I think they distinguish between John's baptism of repentance, and then baptized into the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus really adopted John's baptism by specifically seeking it out. You know? John kind of balked by it. You want to baptize me.
Could I use the word?
Yeah, but, there is a validation or an adopt, of it's sanctioning in some way John's baptism of repentance by what he did.
Oh, yes, I wasn't trying to say.
Oh, no, I'm not arguing. I'm not suggesting that you were arguing with that notion, but... which was it? Was it John's baptism of repentance, or was it Jesus,
Well, I think that's what makes that other setting by Paul so important.
Yeah.
He said, well, we only know about John's baptism, and he says, well, what about the baptism of Jesus Christ? And, so there is actually,
So are you saying when he says, the baptism of Jesus Christ, are you saying that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I'm saying you can be baptized, and anyone can be baptized and come up. Now, whether God and the Holy Spirit moves on
that. See why I bring that. The interesting part about that is it says that, referring to the Holy Spirit, but when they baptized with water, it was always in the name of Jesus.
Oh, sure. Right.
But,
yeah.
You know. Keith, where is it where it talks about Apollos? He just had the understanding of baptism.
Yeah, I was trying to find
God.
It. It's in Acts, but I'm not sure it's in Acts.
What is it? Let me find it.
Or it might be First Corinthians. It talks about there was this other fellow, Apollos.
Aquila and Priscilla talked to him.
Oh, what was it?
Aquila and Priscilla talked to Apollos because he all he knew was the baptism of John.
Right.
And I think it's in Acts.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Okay, I'll find it.
And it's interesting because he was still seemed to be anointed for preaching.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah, he just didn't have the understanding.
But he knew about Jesus, but he didn't know the right preacher.
Yeah. To your point, Tom, he might not have the Holy, he might have sort of the Holy Spirit, but yet God would use him.
Yeah.
Basically, there's two levels here. I mean,
this isn't a significant thing, but Campbell's making the point that
it's kind of like,
yeah, there is a, he is, he's,
kind of
a he's endorsing
yeah.
it,
yeah,
in some way,
yeah. Yeah, suffer this now,
because
John was throwing up the
for thus it fulfills all righteousness.
Yeah,
I think this is in Acts 18:24.
What?
18, 24.
Eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Instructed in the way of the Lord, fervent in spirit. Sounds pretty good. Knowing only the baptism of John. Then, yeah,
speak boldly in the synagogue.
Well, in Priscilla.
Put in the way of God more accurately.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that.
Yeah,
it doesn't say what they did, though, after that.
Didn't tell what right was. Later on, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So maybe that's what they... That's verse 28.
It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and find some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into whom then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hmm.
And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
So was it laying hands or water?
Water baptism. And then baptism in the Holy Spirit.
But the first one was water in the repentance.
Right. In the past.
Yeah.
And then it was just laying hands.
Yeah.
No. Well, you know what, though? It looks like the distinction is when you receive the baptism, you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, not from John being baptized.
Yes, it does. There was a second water baptism.
Yeah.
This one was in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
So
and then later on, that they got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But that was a later act.
Yeah.
Right. You know, either I will get baptized again. I mean, as soon as we started speaking about that baptism, I thought, you know what? I know more than I got baptized when I was a little baby. Or, who knows, five. I mean, that means nothing.
Yeah.
So I got baptized again, right?
When did you get baptized here?
Yeah, you baptized me.
Yeah, we did.
In the Lake Valley little pond over there. It was like 30 degrees.
Sounds like a real baptism to me.
In Lake Valley, there's a little thing in the side.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that now, though, because it's built up.
No, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
It's the same. Everything is the same.
It's deep, though.
No, not in the shoreline. I don't know. Okay, it's Lake Halley, but right next to Lake Halley, there's a little drainage.
Yeah,
right there.
But I think that used to be different there because maybe. they built up a little more of a dam, kind of.
Maybe.
I think. Yeah. But there used to be a little pond there.
Yeah. But now, then, I mean, I was taught more, so I got baptized, right? But now, you know, I know more. Yeah. So I would like to get baptized. Anyways, so I would like to get baptized again.
And you know what?
But hold on a second. But, you know, we know better than formulas. I think
right.
We are trying to formulate this. And we know that God can I don't even know what to tell you what God can do.
See, that's what I'm afraid of. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Formulating.
Right.
I don't want to see it formulated.
Well, you know, I think with all the scriptures that we are reading and all, you know, I would say in the natural, the confusion that is created, I don't think it is
formulating.
but I think maybe the lesson there is that no, a formula is not yet where it's at.
Right. Exactly, exactly.
It really is not where, you know,
exactly.
I think our discussion is demonstrating that.
Right. That's what is happening. That's
yeah.
what is happening.
I didn't think we were going to come up with a formula.
No.
Yeah, right.
But by the grace of God, we're not going to come up
well,
with
it. Yeah. Well, we can't do it and be honest to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come up with a formula.
I want to read something.
You got the floor.
In Acts 2:38, you know, where Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, Peter had the keys of the kingdom, and so God sends him, or Jesus sends him, in the 10th chapter of Acts to the house of Cornelius, remember the Gentile.
Yeah.
And so.
That's the other one, yeah.
It says, and while yet Peter yet spoke these words, verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision that which believed were astonished, for as many as came with Peter, because they are the Gentiles, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these
mm-hmm.
should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?
It's backwards. So they received the Holy Spirit first.
Mm-hmm.
That's backwards.
Yeah, right.
They did it in reverse.
Right.
But, yeah.
Not in the eyes of God. They did it. God did exactly
how I just
I know that. I know that. But, yeah, there isn't a backwards.
Any of you trying to figure out a formula.
But, but it is interesting, though, that they needed to be baptized in water.
Right?
You know what?
And
I see two things. You need to be baptized in water, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You right. know what?
You know?
In here is what we need to know.
Right.
And we will. I don't know that there's hardly anybody anywhere that understands baptism. So people, just like what I did, I went and I was baptized. I didn't know nothing about it.
How could you would? Given all the you know, we're groping for.
Yeah, I was sprinkled one time as an adult, you know, in a Lutheran church, and I was baptized by Don Burnett in the frozen river, a frozen lake, and I never understood what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's not that I would be there'd be something wrong if I didn't understand, but I want to understand.
Do you think though they must have said something because you were being baptized?
Well, that's not the point. The point is I don't know what he said.
Oh.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because because I understand that God wants us to know.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to know what we're doing.
Yeah. But, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't have to have the scriptures written the way that they are. It could have been laid out real nice and simple and straight and clear.
Well,
you know, he could have done that, but he didn't. He did it the way he did it, and he did that for a reason.
When I heard a voice, and it said, if you're serious, that was the first thing. It was a kind of a pause. It said, if you want to find me, okay, you have to look for me where I am. Interpret that. That's almost exactly what I heard. Tell me what that meant. But it didn't take long before the Lord began to open that up. It's like, you know, you've been looking in the doctrines of the churches, and God doesn't exist there. The only place you can find him is right here.
You know,
So I guess your point is that, hey, maybe the dots, we're going to find the lines between the dots.
We're going to know something. But this is maybe when we need to apply the become as little children and just do it in good faith. Just be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And take whatever understanding you have with you and be baptized. And then God will give you the increase, you know, after you get baptized.
You know, yeah, I mean, in a sense.
Yeah. Because when are we going to say, oh, yes, I now have the complete understanding. Let me get baptized. I don't think that's...
Yeah, it's kind of like you made the one step of faith already. Now, if he wants to enhance what that was, if you get the revelation now, do you necessarily have to go through the physical act?
No, but if you want to, you do it.
Yeah, but I don't know if you'd have to.
I personally feel absolutely no goading to be rebaptized, but I suppose some people could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feel a goading
if
to be rebaptized, and maybe I would later on. I might.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. I don't know either for sure.
Yeah.
So how would you be? How would you seek the baptism with the Holy Ghost if you weren't immersed?
See,
how would you seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost without being immersed?
Well, how did Cornelius?
I'm asking a gentleman, is it just a prayer thing? I mean, so if you've already done it once, that you've already made that act and you've outwardly kind of done the thing for the world, but I'm just saying, okay, then, as Charlie said, don't feel any unction. And I go, so then how are you going to, this is me and my contrarianism, like, yeah, I'm just going to have the Spirit fall now on me. I don't do that.
Right.
God does it. So then the question is, how do I engage, or what act do I do? And you say, well, you really don't. And you say, okay, well, then am I passive in this? I'm waiting for God to fall.
You know,
and in a way, I am. I'm just wondering if there's.
Well, I was just going to point out when the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius, that was God did that, right?
Absolutely.
So whatever we get, it's because God wants us to get it.
Right.
Right.
No argument then. But Cornelius, wasn't he in the act? He was being obedient to God when that happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was an act, and even in the outward sign of the natural, that God honored with the falling of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, you're trying to show that he was,
well, I'm just,
he was seeking God, obviously.
Right. I know, right. I have the answer. I'm just asking a question here. I mean, I know what we do, and I kind of know why we do it. And sometimes things are done out of a convenience to help us understand, but that convenience might not have been exactly well grounded in the Word, and I get that gets back to your very good point about a formula, but it does seem to me there's two things. There's this repentance and an immersion and the attempt to die and be born again and have your sins washed away.
That's basically it.
And then there is the Holy Spirit coming into you and being able to have anointing and power and ministry, and you know, I see them as two different things, but they, because of the example in the Bible where just as what Jesus sought out John, this is what John did, the Holy Spirit fell. I think we kind of munge them a little bit too much naturally.
See, I think the whole key is formula thing, because the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius. I was sitting in my kitchen asking for the Holy Spirit, and God honored it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, there's probably 100 different ways people have received the Holy Spirit.
I mean,
that's why you can't get too...
But so you know, coming out of the tank.
The more we talk about it, it's like the more that I'm understanding that baptism and of water, or what the John or repentance, and or the Holy Spirit on fire, does not really require a lot of knowledge or understanding of what you're doing, really, because it's a beginning. It's a beginning. And so what? So do you have to have the understanding of the Holy Spirit to get the Holy Spirit? No.
No.
Because what is the Holy Spirit in essence? The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to guide you and lead you to all truth. You know why? Because you don't have it.
Right.
So you don't need to have any understanding or any knowledge or any experience in the things of God to receive the Holy Spirit. Because that's why you receive it, is because you need it, not because you were so smart in the spirit.
And that's absolutely, totally true in my case. I knew nothing about all this stuff.
And that makes so much sense right now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Knowing that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and you're saying it perfectly. You don't know it until you get it. Then you start to know.
Yeah. Right. So
you don't have to have truth, but you have to have an open heart. Yeah.
Yes, that's what Peter says. He says of good conscience. Where you're basically, because somebody just told you about this Jesus and you don't know him. And baptism, start with baptism or don't. But now we know more about baptism. Not meaning that our first baptism was wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So Keith. You comfortable now?
No.
No? Well, I'm going to come up
with... One interesting thing that's come up here, though, I find it interesting, is that there is some precedent for rebaptism. They had those disciples that were baptized into John's baptism of repentance, and then they learned more, and then they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if that necessarily says, hey, go ahead and be baptized when you have a greater understanding.
When I was baptized, my concept of Jesus was still based a lot on Matthew 28:19. And it's like, who is he? You know, is he man, or is he God, or is he half and half, or is he...
Yeah.
Does he speak for himself sometimes, or speak for God at other times? And you know, as Don Burnett kept teaching, that he was a
dual nature,
had a dual nature, yeah. And so, anyway, and now we're coming to the realization that he's a man, and when he appeared, we're going to be like him. You know, and so now we're baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. That changes the picture. That totally changed. And to as many as were baptized into Christ, the word Christ means man. As many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, it's a different, what has happened to us is so totally different than any of the churches around us. Why? Because God has turned us into onto the scriptures. You know, we started to take Psalms 1 and start to appropriate it. We start to use it. You know, blessed is the man. Blessed. Who blesses him? God blesses the man whose delight is in the Word of God. And on that Word does he meditate day and night. That's what we've been doing, all of us. And so, as we have, Jesus has become a man instead of a God. You know, that takes a while in the mind. because it's because God made him to be that. And God, and we are to be baptized into this man, just like the Israel was baptized into Moses through the cloud and the sea. We are baptized into the man Christ Jesus, and we put him on as we, as he died, you know, at the cross. We're dead and buried in the baptism tank, and we rise to walk in newness of life. But you know, people don't walk in newness of life because they don't have any idea what that means. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we do. And it doesn't mean that we even have to be baptized or speak in tongues. And you guys are talking about that too. I had an experience Carol's husband. What was his name? Al Hendricks. And we would sit day after day after day when I would see him, and he would cry. He was so broken before the Lord. We talked about all kinds of things, and then he died. Well, I had no problem in my mind with Al. You don't have that kind of a relationship and that whatever it is, and you know, and have a problem. He was fine. And then this Roger Sorensen, that was a good friend of his, and I knew him really well. At the funeral, he stopped me and he said, "Were you able to lead Al into the sinner's prayer?" And, you know what I want to do? I want to slap him. Because he had a formula for salvation. Al Hendricks was broken before the Lord. I what more the guy could do?
Sure.
Just like this this young Lutheran mother with a couple of kids at Steinhauer. What's his name?
Jeff Collier?
Herman Steinhauer's son. Anyway, he was telling me about this young woman that we were praying for. And she had cancer, and she died. And just as she was dying, she said, "I'm going to be fine. Don't worry. I can see Jesus, and he's standing there with his arms out, reaching for me. I'm fine." Mm. Argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, he wasn't baptized in Jesus' name, but filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so after we've had all this discussion, do you need to be baptized to be saved?
You know what? We might have to.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
That's a good way of answering that.
Yeah, right.
Because you know.
Because we're accountable.
Yeah, we're right. Accountable.
Yeah, if circumstances somehow or other just prevent you from being baptized.
The womb that much has been given, that will be required.
You know. Yeah, and
did you lead him in the sinner's womb?
Well, I think what I'm saying is there's denominations that say you have to be baptized to be saved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They say it all the time. So are they accountable?
I think from our discussion tonight.
No, they're not, because they're not speaking.
It raises a real question as to whether a baptism that follows the formula is a real baptism.
Right.
There's a genuine question.
You know what you got to say, I think? Be baptized in the truth for every baptism.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, we're baptized into a man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to realize that. Otherwise, they got a wrong concept. And I tell you what, it's hard to kill it. We got a church system out here that's baptized into a God that does not exist. They're baptized into God.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't exist.
Well, that's why Jesus baptized him later with the Holy Spirit and fire to lead him into truth. You know what I mean? So what? You know, how many wrong things have been we doing? You know, but there comes the Holy Spirit and fixes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So that's another thing. It kind of implies that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is pretty important. You know, we always said, well, that's if people can be saved without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, then you back up. Well, can they be saved if they're not baptized correctly? Then you got to back up to, you know what I'm saying? So it's obvious, it's looking to me like you better do all of these to continue. And most of all, you got to ask for truth. You got to be, you know, you got to be have a love for the truth.
See, again, the reason why we receive the Holy Spirit is because what everything we know is not right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not the opposite. It's not because we know everything. It's not because we know the truth that we receive the Holy Spirit.
No.
It's the other way around.
See, and so if they don't want to receive the Holy Spirit, they don't want to receive the truth.
Right.
And they're going to stay where they are, which is not with a whole lot of truth.
No, which kind of is, you know, being baptizing. It opens up to want to receive the truth. That's that's why. No, do you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus? Do you want to
make a declaration that your heart's in the right place?
And you're basically you are asking for truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Here's a commentary that makes an interesting comment. It said there are several reasons, and they went through several of them, but there's one huge condition. Believe, and all the references from Acts quoted above the people who were baptized first believed. And then to your point, baptism is not for infants. Baptism is for those who can grasp a particular Bible subject or truth, the message of the Bible. What do they believe? This gospel message. Jesus outlined this when he said to his followers in Mark 16, "Go ye in all into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall not be, but he that believeth shall not be damned."
That's he that believeth not.
Believeth not, thank you. It's an important word.
Mm-hmm.
Believeth not. That's Mark 16:15-16.
Right.
So
that leaves leave unanswered. How about the ones that believe but didn't get baptized?
But I think as we said, it's you have to have faith, or your heart's got to be open.
And
that kind of gets back to you got to repent, and you're looking, you're saying to God, I want my sins to be forgiven, I want to put myself in that position, and you do all of that, then I believe you create the case or condition for the Holy Spirit to move in you, because you are speaking with your heart, you're making that statement.
You know, it's funny. I'm thinking like. So, you know, like, I can only think in my own case, but so I confessed and believed, knew something changed. So it probably was up to God where that seed got planted. And evidently it got planted in some fairly fertile ground because I never did not want to find out more about, you know, I mean, I wanted to keep following God. I wanted to keep following Jesus. From that point,
you didn't think you were done.
Yeah, I didn't think I was done. So it was enough to. So, but you know that seed. I mean, it gets planted. It starts to grow. It depends on how it grows, or it depends on where it was planted. You know, and you may not know that right away. You know, if it was planted in fertile soil or not. And a lot of people, you know what? They get saved. I mean, they repent, but if it doesn't, somehow it didn't take hold on them, then it's one of those cases of where it got planted, the seed.
Rocky ground?
Or yeah, and it goes nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Some it goes, flares up for a while, and then the cares of this world,
You know, going back a little bit, that when you get baptized, it's about the one that is getting baptized, it's not who's baptizing you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, some guys baptizing in the name of Jesus, that they think that Jesus is God or whatever. But how is that the fault of the guy getting baptized? You know what I mean? He still accepted, he still believed in repenting.
I think Keith raised a pretty good point when you say, I baptized in the God Jesus Christ.
No, but nobody says such things. Nobody says that. No, nobody says I baptized you in the God Jesus.
The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
So what? So those people should be baptized again?
Maybe so.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They, I mean, they aren't doing the speaking, but they are the ones making the decision.
But
was the baptism which I had.
But
a valid
20,
one.
20 years ago when I got baptized, you knew nothing of what I, you know now.
No.
So what, do I need to get rebaptized because you baptized me and didn't know what you know now?
I don't really, I rarely do this, but I don't know if I agree with Charlie on that in this sense. If you don't know, you can't be held accountable for what you don't know. So if you don't understand the difference between the Trinity and not the Trinity, and but your heart is good and you are making as clean a possible presentation of yourself to God, but the people who are doing it are mucking it up because they don't have the revelation. As you said, I don't know how that's held to the person who's taking that act.
Right.
I like what Keith said earlier. We, knowing what we know now, probably have to consider harder whether we should be rebaptized or not, because we have more revelation than just someone walking down the street.
And you know, when I think about it, though,
that
back then,
no, that's fine. Yeah, right.
I think if I remember, I wanted to make a point of you knowing that you were being dying to self as Christ was being resurrected.
Yes.
At least that much.
No, but I'm talking about who you were then.
Well, yeah. I didn't necessarily believe in the Trinity then, but I certainly didn't have any.
Right. But my baptism is not, doesn't hinge in your doctrines.
Right.
In your, because there's no doctrine in baptism. It's repentance and whatever, and you know, give us submerge and come up. And so
I don't know if that's true, Papa. I maybe disagree with you and
okay,
just for the sake of argument, maybe more than anything else. But hey, if you are baptized in a fundamental misconception about the nature of the Godhead, you're baptized into an idol, kind of, you know, you're wrong. I mean, you know, the formulation is wrong. Is that a real baptism? I don't know.
Well, I think what Paul was saying is if you're in a repentant state and are being baptized, you can't take away the repentance.
Right.
But, you know.
No, but are you putting on Christ? If you're, you know, if what baptism is to include is the death, burial, and resurrection of
but
Jesus, and you just did it to a thing that doesn't exist.
Well, you know, see, like I said earlier,
mm-hmm.
when you are first baptized, you know nothing except baptism. And that, and the concept of baptism alone is wrong because you knew nothing. Probably. I didn't. So that's why, again, the Holy Spirit comes in to lead you, guide you to all truth. Because even what you knew when you were getting baptized was not truth. You know? So we even right now don't have a perfect doctrine, let alone when we first got baptized. So the baptism of with water, it's just a motion that and then the important baptism comes, which is the Holy Spirit on fire.
Let me remind you. That sounds a little. I am reminding you because I know you know about there in 1 Corinthians when it talks about. Did you baptize me in the name of Paul?
Right.
Did you baptize in the name of Apollos? You know. No, I thank God that I didn't baptize, you know.
Right.
You know, suggesting that if you had been baptized in the name of Paul, that wouldn't have been.
No, but, okay, but see, I wasn't baptized in the name of Paul.
someone were, is that a real baptism?
No, absolutely not.
If it's not a real baptism,
it's not.
How about someone who's baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost,
well,
which doesn't even exist?
Well, let's say to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is wrong. It's wrong. I'm going to say it's wrong. Plain wrong. I still have a Bible to back it up.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, in the name of Apollos, no. And in the name of Corky, Charlie, no. You got to get rebaptized all day long. All day long. But if someone...
I feel like I got a dent there.
Yes, but if I'm baptized in the name of Jesus, and the guy, let's say you were a Trinitarian when you baptized me, and you're still baptized in the name of Jesus because that's what Acts and all says. My baptism is still truth, and the Holy Spirit definitely came and showed me some things that needed to show me. Definitely. Now, I'm going back. And I said, I'm baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know what? Right or wrong, it's in the Bible. Right or wrong, it's in the Bible. So, and then the Holy Spirit, like I said 10 times, and then Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit on fire and guide you into all truth that you did not have when you got baptized in the first time. You do not have all truth when you're baptized, but you will get it. Mm-hmm. So,
we even found examples where you had all truth before you were baptized.
Was that
again? He had all truth because he had the Holy Spirit before you were baptized. I mean, we were just reading this.
Just access to it, sure.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, so.
Yeah, and that was my case for me. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
I think
speaking in tongues long before I was baptized in water. But,
okay.
I think the real question is, are you accountable for if someone is officiating a baptism and they're just flat out wrong in their understanding of the word, does that null and void the baptism?
They're so wrong that they baptize you in the name of Paul. How about that?
Yeah, right. That's then you need to get rebaptized
outside of the word. Yeah.
No, I would say you would have to get rebaptized. But is there anybody doing?
How about if you're baptized in the name of Paul?
I would get rebaptized right now. Yes, definitely. But I don't know that there's one person in history that has ever done anything. Really, and but to do a baptism in the name of not Jesus, or Father Spirit, or whatever, Father Hope, Father Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The reason why I'm saying this is because Keith said, they baptize you into God Jesus. Well, the guy that baptized you, he knew about baptism, he just didn't know about who Jesus was much. But whose fault is? But he still knows. He still knew that you needed to get baptized, and thank God that the Holy Spirit is going to come in to show you truth.
Just to be difficult, you can make the argument. The reason that individual baptized you into God Jesus is because that's what God led him to know. It's God's fault. If God would have given him more revelation through the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't have made that mistake. But he didn't. So God knew that he was going to do it wrong. So how is it invalid?
Yeah, I'm not following you. I'm not.
I'm poking fun at my brother here a little bit because you only can do what the Spirit has revealed.
Right.
And so if acting in a true heart with the revelation you have, but it is wrong, how is it invalid? And I'm going, if this person doesn't know this and did it, well, that's on God because the Holy Spirit hasn't
spoken. Right. The man is packing around this black book under his shoulder. He just isn't cracking the thing. I don't know that he can,
I know. Pretty weak.
Now, for example,
how do you hold
them
accountable for that?
So you've been a Trinitarian in the past.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever baptize anybody?
No.
You didn't? You never baptized anybody.
What?
Not in the Trinity.
No, but you said in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
But you were a Trinitarian.
No, not then I wasn't.
You believe that Jesus was God?
I suppose you did.
Well, even when I baptized in Jesus' name, I still had the Trinitarian.
But my question is, did you believe that Jesus was God when you were baptized in the name of Jesus?
You know, I don't know what I believe.
Okay, which is as bad as it's as bad as thinking Jesus is God.
Yeah, if you were I will agree that whatever the subjective understanding
because
is of the person who's doing the baptism,
when Brad
cannot be crucial if the word, you know.
When
you
Brad
just follow the right formula, you're good.
Yeah. Okay, let's start all over again. Let's go back an hour and a half back.
I'm just giving Charlie a little bit of a hard time here, but I. It's good though. I mean, I think some of the things you said were really, it's heart and it's not intelligence. And certainly there are cases scripture shows where people received the Holy Spirit before they went through the act of baptism or the repentance. And so it doesn't have to be this way, that way, as it was for Christ.
Right.
Because the scripture shows us in other cases it wasn't. And so, I tell you, I'm being contrary, and just to make a point, I don't know exactly where the level of accountability of what you know and how you acted, you know, because I'm not walking around perfected. So I believe what I believe based on the revelation that God has given me to this point. Does that invalidate everything I believe?
Mm.
I hope not. However, it will drive me into prayer for grace and mercy and repentance and forgiveness, because I know I'm imperfect. I'm imperfect still. So it gets, but you know, I don't want to.
So I got a question then.
Fire away.
So if we're getting the truth of who Christ is, Jesus, and the baptism, then who are we going to present it to? Somebody that's never received, because then you're giving them the truth, that as much truth has been given, or do you need to go out and try to reach everyone that was incorrectly baptized?
I think you look to be led by the Holy Spirit on that.
Well, yeah. I think you're going to be talking to both, though, eventually.
Sure.
That would be good
to do that.
Yeah, so then if people get the revelation of who Jesus is, and you bring up baptism, then it's up to God to prick their heart whether they want to be rebaptized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think.
Sure.
I mean, and he may prick at us, or some of us, or whatever, you know, because...
Yeah, but we got to remember that baptism is be born again, is a early stage Christianity, Christian person, that you're not required, or you don't have to know much of anything, because it's your very first or early walk.
You're so right. It's part of the formula for being born again.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, but see, there's a little, but if you're in one of the denominations that just says be baptized and you're baptized, what have you received?
Well, they all preach, I would imagine, repentance, you know.
Yes.
I would imagine. So that's kind of like the backbone of...
Yeah.
If it is strictly repentance, that sounds like John's baptism.
Right.
And in that case, if the book of Acts is a guide, we should be rebaptized in the name of Jesus.
A lot of times, mm-hmm. I have these scenarios in my head of, like, talking to people. And then people will say... This is a crazy thing. I have like my own weird dialogues with people that don't even exist. And
I've done this.
Okay,
you're not alone.
Okay.
Yeah, they get a lot of time.
What do you know? Hey, you know that drink you over there? It's like I'm presenting something to someone, and then there's always this. Well, what is? What ifs?
Yeah.
And what ifs? You know what? You know what I think Jesus will say? Don't worry about what those guys. You follow me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't. You follow me. Don't. You know what? It's your salvation.
You know what I mean? You follow me. What if this guy didn't get baptized? What if this guy doesn't speak in tongues? What if this guy never prayed? What if this guy, whatever? You follow me.
Certainly, that's the first order. On the other hand, we are called to evangelize and so forth.
Right, right. But I'm just saying the what ifs. You know, because if the Bible speaks about a general thing, and there's always this what ifs. Well, what about this one guy? Well, I'm just going to concentrate in the mass thing, and then we'll worry about this what if one guy.
Well, even Jesus, you know, one of the apostles asked about, and Jesus says, what is it to you?
Yeah, right, well, that's what I'm saying.
Jesus, and he's talking about the apostles. What is it to you? What happens with this apostle?
Right.
Which was enough for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you finished?
I
was going to make a comment because I think it maybe is healthy. I've been baptized twice in my life. Once in the Catholic Church, where I was, you know, ran water over my head when I probably wasn't old enough to know about it, and then when I came here. And I can't tell you with certainty why I got baptized here, other than the teaching was that it was very important for me to do that. And it was not so much that it was a, I can't say that I, it was sort of implied that it's a gateway to receiving tongues. But it was a way of more so as an outward demonstration of dying to self, being born again, you know, and I was, because I was coming out of a denominational church into a non-denominational, charismatic, you know, demon-believing, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And it was important to me to make that statement, but I don't think that I had the concept that I have now. And I don't regret doing what I did, but I don't know that knowing what I know now, that I feel that the baptism I received was right on the mark.
Yeah, you know, just like you baptized yourself first in Catholic, and then you now...
Well, hey, I didn't baptize.
Somebody baptized. Then you baptize again. Why not again? You know what I mean?
Well, the second time I was baptized by Keith
mm-hmm.
in Bakken School. Oh, yeah. And it's fine. And like I said, you know, I was going through the new conference package, and that was one of the things in the new conference package that you need to do. It was kind of like you need to take this step to the path to being truly born again. And so, and I had no problem with that because it was my heart to be truly born again and to be giving my heart to the Lord and, you know, having a personal relationship with Jesus that I really didn't have before.
So what are you saying now?
I'm saying now I'm not sure that knowing what I know, as Keith was saying, I don't know that it hits the mark.
So you're thinking maybe you'd want to be rebaptized.
I'm thinking I'm leaning more towards being baptized again because not the formula, but my understanding and the motivation behind it. I mean, I don't, on one hand, I speak in tongues, and I believe I've died to self, and so I don't know that there's anything there. So I don't know.
I'm kind of thinking in the way that Pablo said it to begin with. So now that you know all that, what will that do?
Well, that's why I was talking, and I'm going, so what changes?
Yeah.
I mean, other than I know that my understanding of this act is more scripturally aligned. And there's no value in that. But the question is, how much value?
No, but warning.
Sure.
Okay, so when you got baptized, you know, and pulled back in Bakken's pool, you knew this much, and you got baptized, right? And we always have more knowledge. So right now we have this much knowledge.
Sure.
So you're going to get baptized, right? And are you going to stop getting knowledge?
No.
So you're going to have this much knowledge. So you're going to get baptized in here again.
Yeah, that's the valid question.
You know what I mean? But I'm not saying don't get baptized.
No, I didn't say that. And the argument could be, you know, well, if you're always on a learning, so at what point do you say, oh, you know, I really missed the mark and I should re-up this. I should revalidate my
You're going to do it 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
Yes. Right. On the flip side is, so what's the downside?
Right.
What does it hurt?
Right.
Am I afraid to be humbled eight times?
Right.
No, not really. Not if my salvation's in question. So so I'm like Keith, I'm kind of talking a little bit.
I'm thinking that maybe we don't have the understanding that God wants us to have. But it's available. And I'm not even thinking about us being baptized. I'm thinking about us at some point baptizing. I probably won't be able to, but you guys will, you know. And I think it's a vital, valuable thing that people understand that they're being baptized into Jesus instead of as a man rather than into a God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. That's in 2 Corinthians 5. And so anyway, but we have a church system that there is no vision for change. There's no vision. It's not in the church. And I mean, I've been to just about every segment of churchianity that exists, and I'm seeing that you know, like Romans 6, we die with him through, you know, we buried in his death. I can't think how it says it. I'm getting tired, but so anyway, our lifestyle has got to take on a drastic change. You can't live like the world and be called a Christian, you know, but we do. And it's not that I'm going to decide what we do and what we don't do, or neither are you.
No, well, okay, but I think where you got to tread a little carefully is, so getting baptized, you think that's going to do that?
No.
I mean, it could.
I tell you what, if you baptize into a God, your relationship is miles away.
Yeah, no, and I'm all with you on that part.
You get baptized into the man Christ Jesus. And you put him on. Now we got a different.
I mean, I'm looking at living differently than the world, and I think that's more. Maybe it's the conscience and it's your relationship with Christ.
And we all do. We all live different than the world.
I mean, so I'm thinking. I don't know that if I. Well, it depends on what kind of frame of mind you have going into baptism that would turn that around all of a sudden. But I think you should be getting baptized into the part, the aspect of who Jesus Christ is, you know.
Yeah.
That truth part.
Mm-hmm. And we have learned vital, valuable insights. We have learned a lot of things that we can teach.
It may be that a fuller, much fuller revelation of baptism will accompany a renewing of the mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That may be. That may be tied together in some kind of way.
Yeah, I can't shake it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm not ready to try it too, but I can't shake it. It's like it's...
Well, I will say this. Not that I see it today, but in the future, if I was in a position to baptize, I think the conversation with the person who is saying, I want to be baptized, will much better align with Scripture than with some formula or, gee, you're new to the church and you need to be baptized.
Yeah, I would never baptize into the band Jesus Christ. I would never baptize into the band.
Yeah.
But the first church was.
Yeah. They said the right words, though. Maybe.
It gets back to whether it's acceptable or not, right? Well, you were saying it wasn't, so I don't know.
Well, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, right. I tell you.
So is the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible.
Maybe the right association will change people's something.
But yes, I think maybe you're getting some kind of glimmering of something.
Yeah.
That the focus on baptism maybe is for a reason. Maybe the Holy Spirit is prodding so that, and gee whiz, that would make some sense. That the baptism, there truly would be a washing of regeneration.
And then, another point. I'm getting so tired I can't talk, but anyway, another thing is, baptism does form an association.
We might really do it, huh?
You were baptized into this church? What's it do? You were baptized into the church, but you were baptized in this church. Okay? What does it do? It associates you with these people. Mm-hmm. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. And especially as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25.
You know. Maybe I would want to get baptized at that point. If there is a way in which baptism involved a true putting on of Christ.
Exactly.
Real deal.
Not just
a bunch of nice talk.
It's kind of somewhere in my head, but I can't get it. I can't get the picture.
Until you get the revelation, you don't know the revelation.
Well, that's why I appreciate what you guys are saying. Throw it around, toss it around, and let the Holy Spirit unravel it for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for that.
Yeah. I really am all for that.
Yeah, I can't see.
But here's the problem.
Putting on of Christ.
To truly put on Christ.
That's what I want.
That is certainly where I want
it. And if it calls for rebaptism, hey, well, so be it.
Yeah, that's not the roadblock.
No, that's right.
I can't see salvation as or see baptism as a salvation issue.
Uh-huh.
And yet, it's everywhere I look.
As Pablo was saying, it happens pretty quick. After.
Well, it's everywhere in the scriptures, and I'm trying to figure out why. What does this mean? Why does it say this? You know what I'm saying? And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Well, you know what? I'm kind of asking myself. You know, what is it? What is the truth here? What does this mean? What does that mean? And you know, we said, "Well, truth is what God meant by what He said." What did he mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we have in a very large set. I'll speak for myself. I'm play acting at being a Christian. Play acting.
We all are.
I mean, there's
Yeah.
And I would rather not have it be that way. I would rather that when I was baptized. It would be into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, not in some play-acting way, in a real way.
Yeah.
And involve a putting on of Christ in a real way. You know, no play-acting. That would be good.
Now, I don't want to. This is not to throw a wrench in anything. But what if you went before the Lord and made that your prayer every night?
Mm-hmm.
That you would be.
Mm-hmm.
Come into the fullness of Christ.
Yeah,
right.
You're saying perhaps baptism would be. Yeah, I'd be a good.
I mean, he may say get baptized, or he may bring you into Christ.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's very good.
I think that's a highlight statement of tonight.
Yeah. Because baptism, it could, like everything else, it could become a works.
Yeah, that's the one part that sits in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Works or formula, you know?
Right.
Well, when they say, do this as an outward expression, he hasn't gone into the tank yet,
Right. Yeah.
And it's so easy to judge because we all see that.
Sure.
That's a good point, too.
It's like, you know, you can't see the heart, but you can see whether someone made a fool of themselves publicly,
yeah.
Which was part of the humility part, and there's an aspect of that. That's good.
And I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
So,
you know, I wanted to read a scripture that, okay, like you guys know, I fell, and I was like, my left arm was really, 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 really bad. I was already making plans of, like, my customers to call them. I can be there. I'm crippled. I don't know how long. I called Kenny at night. I am in pain. Please pray for me. Blah, blah, blah. She did. I prayed. And I don't remember if I slept or not. Then I asked the prayer chain of the church, you know, you guys pray for me. And, like, it was very quickly that I had relief. I just had relief. And it wasn't very long after that. And even right now, I'm not 100%. But you know what? My whole body's not 100%. So, right. But right. So, I fell only on my arm. I mean, I have 300 pounds. So it's not like you guys fall. It's 300 pounds. And I'm Candy says this is a miracle. I mean, you should have had this and that and this and that. And so anyways, but this scripture doesn't apply 100% to this, but it does. And I want to be here. And I know you guys want to be here too. So Jesus is praying for, did I tell you that when he was praying for Lazarus? Did I share that with you? Maybe not.
I don't know what part of it.
I'm glad that you always hear me or something like that. Okay, hold on. Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Anyways, and you know, God has answered all my prayers. All of them. I mean, I remember before coming here, I was in high school, you know, doing stupid high school stuff. I always prayed, Lord, that was my prayer, Lord, when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And I knew I was not good either way, but, you know, he answered my prayer, and he's always answered all my prayers. Not right away, not how I wanted, but he always, so much so that I stopped praying about that because it's resolved, you know what I mean? But now, imagine you right here. Listen. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Oh. Can you, I so want to be there. And you know what? I don't want to brag or nothing, but I am very close. And you know what? So are you guys. Very, very close.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Mm-hmm. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they might believe that you sent me. But amen, that is so awesome. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
I know that God always hears me. Mm-hmm. We can be there. We can mm-hmm. be there. Hey, man, is it? Father. This is what I pray. It's done.
You know, let me, the Bible in Psalms says, blessed is the one who delights is in God's word. So, okay, so, well, the delight in every one of us is God's word. Blessed. By who? Who blesses that? And meditates on his word day and night? Whether we are listening to it or even thinking about it, I think about his word day and night. Is God's blessing on us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course it is. And so, Pablo, I never thought about that until he just said it, but he does always hear us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not that God healed Pablo because of this, but when I knew that he had a problem, I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I prayed for an hour and a half, mm-hmm. Saturday morning. I spent most of the time in tongues. And I and all of a sudden it lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And did that have something to do with it? It didn't heal him, but it had something to do with it.
Yeah, who knows?
You know?
Yeah.
Mm. But that's just a great place.
Amen.
It's a great place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's so wonderful, isn't it? When our Father takes care of us in that kind of way, right?
And it's wonderful when we talk about it like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie. That you know that's a way that's a blessing. It gets us blessed by God. Mm. It's wonderful when He blesses us like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wonderful when we talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a book of remembrance being written. For those that thought upon His name. And He says, and they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thought?
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stop saying good things, Corky, one day.
I love you all.